Welcome everyone to this special webinar event in collaboration with Microbiome Labs and Fullscript. It is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Sarah Ellis, who is a naturopathic doctor and clinical science liaison at Microbiome Labs, where she trains and educates healthcare professionals on innovative approaches to improving the gut microbiome.
Well, hi everyone, I'm so glad to join you all today. Let's talk about some innovative ways that we've been able, and I say we as in the scientific community, have been able to harness the science and technology to create some innovative options to help restore balance to the microbiome. All right, so let's talk about Pylopass. So Pylopass is a unique and inactive strain of Lactobacillus reuteri. And through a series of tests and assays, it has been shown to have a unique and very specific binding affinity to Helicobacter pylori or H. pylori. Now, several screening studies have shown that L. reuteri actually has the ability, in this specific strain of L. reuteri, has the ability to bind to the surface of H. pylori like Velcro and helps escort H. pylori out of the gut and out of the stomach, especially where it can cause a lot of damage to the gastric lining. Now, this is important because H. pylori is a very common gastric pathogen and is associated with a variety of symptoms, including indigestion, bloating, and pain with eating, as well as ulcer formation and gastric cancer risk as well. What's interesting to note is that at least 50% of the global population carries H. pylori. So discovering a unique and innovative way to manage and eradicate H. pylori levels is definitely something of need with regard to public health. H. pylori is also very intelligent. It is able to adhere to that stomach epithelium, and it allows it to evade the immune system. So by burrowing into that mucosa, it can kind of hide and keep from the immune system identifying it and attacking it. So it's not just enough to identify the presence of H. pylori in someone's gut, but you also want to look at the different virulence factors that they may have. CAG-A is one of the virulence factors that we really want to keep an eye on and identify if someone is presenting with an H. pylori infection, because it can lead to an aberrant immune response. So it upregulates our inflammation, it upregulates our immune system activation, and it's actually been shown to upregulate cell growth while simultaneously inhibiting apoptosis. So in a way, CAG-A is setting the stage for the development of gastric cancer. It's important to note that there's an increased resistance against antibiotics with H. pylori. H. pylori is one of the fastest growing pathogens that has developed antibiotic resistance. And the success rate of triple therapy has actually decreased from 90% to 75%. Now, what's beautiful is that nature always has the answers, and nature actually has been teaching us how to combat pathogens. So researchers in Denmark wanted to look at the mechanism of action of adhesion or co-aggregation. So how could we manipulate a natural phenomenon that occurs with bacterial species and use it as a way to modulate and reduce the presence of H. pylori? Well, as I mentioned, adhesion and co-aggregation is a common phenomenon in nature, definitely more frequently found in microbial biofilms. And these co-aggregations they take place when genetically distinct bacteria become attached to one another. They all secrete different adhesion molecules like S-layer proteins, adhesions, and even that endotoxin LPS or lipopolysaccharide. That also plays a role in the development of this co-aggregation or biofilm. Researchers in Denmark really wanted to screen for a variety of different lactobacillus strains that had this mechanism of action and are able to co-aggregate and kind of create a community of bacteria. And they were able to identify just one specific lactobacillus strain that had a very strong, unique affinity to H. pylori. And that strain turned out to be Lactobacillus reuteri DSM17648. All right, so let's talk about Pylopass and its impact on the gut microbiome. Because often the next question is, well, if it binds to H. pylori, does it bind to anything else, including commensals? And so researchers found that Here we see that Pylopass is able to bind multiple strains of H. pylori, including Helicobacter helmani and Helicobacter canis, but it does not bind to other pathogens like certain Streptococcus strains, Campylobacter, different Clostridium strains, and even B. fragilis and E. coli. Now, we also found that Pylopass also doesn't disturb our commensals. So this is a very specific precision-pointed technology or tool to support the eradication of H. pylori. What we saw is that Pylopass actually interferes with H. pylori's motility and keeps it from being able to burrow into that gastric mucosa. And it also aggregates with it, so that it can create these clusters and be moved out of the gastric environment. What researchers have found is that taking Pylopass with a meal helps start to stimulate that peristaltic activity. And that kind of shakes loose the H. pylori out of that mucosa, which allows Pylopass to bind even more of those H. pylori bacteria. Now let's talk about immunolin. Immunolin is a serum-derived bovine immunoglobulin protein isolate, also known as SBI. It's an agglomerated cream-colored powder, and it's 92% protein. Now, this is really important because that means that most of these proteins are going to be present as immunoglobulin. So IgG, IgA, and IgM, some of our main immunoglobulins within our immune system. It also contains about 10% of albumin and other proteins that are consistent with those that are found in plasma. Immunolin has been well studied over 45 human clinical trials focused on digestive health and immune support. And it has been found to contain the highest concentration of naturally sourced immunoglobulins in the world. All right, so let's get into the mechanism of action and some of the clinical evidence. Immunolin has been found to bind to a variety of microbial components to help reduce inflammation and improve GI function. Many intestinal disorders often result or start because of dysbiosis. And so the immunoglobulins are able to bind those microbial components. So these can be virulence factors, endotoxins like lipopolysaccharide and other proteins. The binding of these microbial compounds really help maintain a balance with our immune system. It helps maintain the gut barrier and the integrity of the gut barrier and can improve nutrient utilization. Now, again, we talked about how dysbiosis and the degradation of the microbiome can produce endotoxins like lipopolysaccharide, and that leads to immune activation and the subsequent development of inflammation. That immune activation can actually weaken those tight junctions and cause leaky gut and allow those materials and components to flow into circulation. So by binding these endotoxins, we're able to help provide balance and really kind of calm down that inflammatory process. The dendritic cells, they're not able to kind of present those antigens to the other immune cells, which then kind of rallies the troops and gets the immune system activated and ready to fight. So by binding them, we're able to calm down the immune system. It maintains GI balance by helping increase the expression of the anti-inflammatory cytokine IL-10. Now, IL-10 is very important because it not only kind of cools down the inflammation, but it also encourages the differentiation of T cells into regulatory T cells. And I consider regulatory T cells to be our immune fire extinguishers. So if we can increase those anti-inflammatory cytokines and increase those immune fire extinguishers, we're able to calm down that inflammation, restore the integrity of that gut barrier. And immunolin and SBI have also been shown to help increase the expression of tight junction proteins to help rebuild the integrity of that gut barrier. So what does immunolin bind to? Honestly, it seems like just about everything. I think the list that immunolin binds to just continues to grow and grow. But I wanted to share some of the more important antigens that immunolin can bind to. So of course, it can bind to Candida albicans, the lysate, and specific proteins. But let's take a look at this one here. Immunolin can bind pylori CAG-A. Now remember, when we went over the H. pylori virulence factors, we talked about CAG-A because that's a protein that can really activate our immune system and facilitate the replication of cells and inhibit apoptosis. So it kind of sets the stage for the development of gastric cancer. Well, what's wonderful is that immunolin can bind that specific protein and also can bind H. pylori as well. It can also bind C. diff toxins, gliadin, which is one of the main proteins that is inflammatory in wheat, as well as a host of many other pathogens. What's important to note is that it does not adversely affect the growth of commensal, intestinal, and oral bacteria, and it also doesn't inhibit the growth and healthy activity of probiotics as well. And not only does SBI help with IBS symptoms, but it's been shown to reduce the incidence of metabolic endotoxemia or leaky gut. So metabolic endotoxemia is what happens when that lipopolysaccharide toxin enters into circulation. And when it goes into systemic circulation, it can impact our metabolism, whether it's our blood sugar regulation, a host of other methods and areas as well.
Well, thank you so much for everybody for joining today. And what an in-depth presentation. I want to say thank you so much to Dr. Sarah Ellis. And I hope everybody enjoyed the presentation. And thank you so much.